Well, amen to all that. God really does love each one of us. You know, He really cares about everything we go through, all of our needs. Have you ever just sat there and thought about God's love for us, you know? Especially Jesus dying on the cross, you know, that was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate thing, you know? A lot of times, if I sit there and just think about that, it's just, man, it's just overwhelming, let alone every little detail in our lives that God has taken care of us, protected us from things, you know? I mean, it would be amazing to get to heaven and see everything that God's done for us. The title of my message today is A Sincere Heart. And you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. David, in Jeremiah, it talks about the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. And David understood that. So that's why he had a repentant heart. You know, he always asked. He came to God with a repentant heart. He had that sincere heart. And that's what, you know, in these days, that's what we got to have. We got to have that repentant, sincere heart that we want to live for God. So Psalm 51, I'm just going to read the whole chapter, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. So 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and a whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. I just love that because, you know, this is basically showing you the heart of David, you know. David knew he messed up. David knew he sins. And yet he knew that all he had to do was come to God and repent. And God would basically wipe out, not remember his sins no more. And remember, this is all before Jesus Christ was even born, you know, years before that. And it's like, and, you know, he talks about bringing back that joy of the Lord. You know, it's like, have you ever sinned? You know you sinned and you get that heaviness, that weight. Yeah. And then you repent, and then that joy comes back. It's like a lift, you know? And that's, you know, that's what David knew. And it's that, you know, it's that sincere heart. Like he, you know, none of us, I know nobody can live basically a perfect life. And so that's why it's like, you know, it's in, you know, like the, when David sinned, you know, with Bathsheba, he was already king. I mean, look how old he was, you know, how many years he had lived serving God, and yet he's still messed up, you know? Everybody, nobody, you know, you look at the greatest people in the Bible, they all messed up, yet they all had a sincere heart, a repentant heart. And it's just, you know, that's what we got to have today. Okay, if you will, you can go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to also read this from New Living Translation, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter also, so. So this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. I like that verse because, you know, Peter, he really learned this, you know. That's part of the Christian walk, is every day we're learning, we're getting up, we're constantly learning and growing in our grace and peace of Jesus Christ. You know, can you think back maybe years ago when you struggled maybe with a sin or something that so easily beset you, but then at one point you overcome it and you look back and like, man, that's nothing now. But you have another struggle maybe that you deal with today. So it's like you always are growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. I was just thinking about that. You know, there was no way to live in the world today to live a godly life without Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the only way, is to have Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And it's his divine nature. It's how you're able to live it, you know, without being corrupted by the world. Especially, you know, everything that's going on today, we know this, the media twist everything. You know, they're calling what's good evil, and they're calling what's evil good, and it's just more and more and more and more people are accepting it too. Okay, verse 5, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of more excellence, and more excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I really like this because this shows you that, you know, when you come to God and you get saved, you're right then, and you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, you're saved, but yet there's still struggles that we deal with. You know, sometimes those sins, I think, that you get delivered from, you know, and it's you know it. But I think there's those other things where it's this patience. You know, you mess up, and then you repent, and you go on the next day. You mess up the same sin, and then you repent, and you go on. And it's like that patient endurance. You keep doing that, and it talks about, you know, with self-control and patience and do it, it produces that godliness. That's that sincere heart. It's like, because I've done this too before. Have you ever just like, well, I messed up, so what's the point, you know? But that's where you got to have that self-control and that patience to do it. Okay, well, I messed up, but it's not me. You know, Jesus already died on the cross from sin, and we'll read on what talks about the old sins, you know. They're already taken care of, so you don't live by that. You live day by day. And it's like he says, with that godliness brings brotherly affection with love for everyone. So sometimes have you ever felt like, well, how can I love people? How can I serve a godly life when I'm constantly messing up over here? But it's not you, it's Jesus in you. And so that produces that love for everyone. Have you ever realized that sometimes that sin that so easily besets you, when you don't focus on the sin, but you focus on Jesus and doing for others and other people, it's like it becomes less and less, and before you know it, it's gone. So it's just amazing how, you know, Peter already learned this, you know. So let's see, let's verse 9. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So dear brothers and sisters, we're called to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. So it's those, you know, Jesus paid that price for our sins. So we don't live by our mistakes, you know, we live by Jesus. So it's like, you know, he talks about being short-sighted or blind. You know, you feel like those people that are that, you know, they have to, you have to live by Jesus in you. Like, if you mess up, you got to know that don't matter. I don't live by that. I live by Jesus Christ. So it don't matter how much I mess up, I live by Jesus Christ. You know, again, Paul talked about this, you know, it doesn't mean that the, you know, that we can live as anywhere we want to because Jesus died on the cross, but it just means that when we do mess up, we know that that doesn't wipe away what Jesus did for us. It's just that faith, you know, that brings that faith alive, and it brings that sincere heart that, okay, I sincerely want to serve Jesus even though I mess up, and it's a daily walk. And then verse 11, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. And we can see that, like, the, you know, all the prophecies that have been written down in the Bible, a lot of them have been fulfilled, or they're being fulfilled today, or they're going to be fulfilled in the future. You know, again, you know, we continue to lift up Israel because of what Israel's going through, but that's part of prophecy, you know. They hate the Jews because God chose them, because God loved them. And it's the devil behind it all. We know that. But you can see more and more people are turning against them. And that's what God talks about. God says that, you know, at one point he's going to bring every nation in the earth against Israel. And yet that's how it's like, you think about that, like, you could see a day coming where it's like, well, those who maybe are for Israel, they're going to be more ridiculed, more spat upon, you know, crucified, more than it's going to be, okay, now if you love Jesus, if you're a Christian, you're going to be more persecuted that way. And it's like right now, while we still have this time, we have to have that sincere heart for God, to live for God right now. So that way, as the days continue to get darker, it's just going to be easier and easier, and we're going to be able to love people. And again, if you have that sincere, repentant heart, it makes it so much easier to love people, you know, and just love them with that love that Jesus has. So that's all that I have for today, is just, you know, every day, just have that sincere heart, you know, be a repentant heart just like David had. So anyways, that is it.
Amen. That was really good. I am going to continue on my series today, Conquering Demonic Spirits. Before that, though, I want to share a dream that I had the other night. And it's very personal. I know it was specifically for me, but I feel like God wanted me to share it today. So what it is Michael and I are in a car, not our usual SUV. We're in a car, and I'm driving, and we're in five lanes. It's a five-lane highway, and we're on the left, and there's a ton of traffic, just a ton of traffic. And it was like, and for some reason, the speed limit was only 40 miles an hour. And I'm like, and all these people are flying around me, and And I'm like, you know, it's only 40, but these people are really tailing me, so I'm pushing it a little bit. And I look at my speed limit on my dash, and I'm going 52. And then suddenly, three police officers, two are on motorcycles, and one, I mean, they're just like right there. And I'm in the far left lane, so I don't know how they get me so quickly, but they get me and they pull me over. And one of the, so the two motorcycle cops, one of them's a girl and she's in training. And she comes over and the other guy's with her and she's like, "I caught you going 63. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "I wasn't going 63. And I was so mad. In my dream, I'm like, and Michael's over here calm as he can be, you know. And I'm like, you know, not going, I wasn't going 63. I didn't tell her this, but I was going 52. And it was 40 miles an hour. And I was just, you know, copping my little attitude. And she's writing me up a ticket. And she takes my license and everything. And we're sitting there. And I just, like, I'm just so mad. I can't even explain to you how mad I am. Because I'm like, this is so ridiculous. All these people are passing me and I get pulled over, you know, and I'm just dwelling on this. And in my dream, I can feel myself getting angry. And Michael's like, "I think maybe you should let me drive." And so we trade. And as we're trading, the police officers suddenly hop on their bikes and they wave Michael to follow them. And they just start driving. And so we're following them. And I'm like, "She has my license." Like I'm looking at, "She has my license. What are they doing?" You know, like I'm still mad, you know, not being logical. I'm just upset. And so we drive for a couple miles and there's this humongous pile of cars in this huge wreck. And so we get up there and the woman gives me my license and just waves us on. And as we're passing this pileup, all other traffic is stopped and we're allowed to go by. And as I'm looking at this humongous wreck, I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, "I saved your life today." And that just broke me. It just broke me. None of this actually happened. You know, it wasn't real. But it was like the Holy Spirit was telling me, "You know, you were back here, you were getting mad, and I was saving your life." And then he showed me some things in my life personally where I have gotten mad and thought, you know, this shouldn't happen and this shouldn't happen. And then he showed me, "I saved your life. I saved your life." And it was so powerful. For some reason, I feel like someone needs to hear that today. So there you go. It was very... It really hit me hard. It was one of those dreams that, you know, God showed you, you know, and it just has been on my heart constantly, you know, and just God showing me he did save my life. And it was just, it was really big. All right. So turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to continue on. The very first message I told you guys about Caesarea Philippi and how terrible that city was and how it's basically the gates of hell, you know, and in verse 17, we'll start from there. I'm going to read this in the Amplified though. It says, "Then Jesus answered him, 'Blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood, mortal man, did not reveal this to you.'" And this is where Simon says, Jesus asked him who he was. Simon says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus continues to say, "Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of the Christ. I will give you the keys," and that's in parentheses, "I will give you the keys, the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth will have already been bound in heaven." And this is like, I like how Amplified puts this, because this is one of my favorite English things. It's like, it will have already been bound, meaning it was already set in the future. It's already something that's done, but it's done in the future. I mean, it's just incredible how they word that. And then it goes on to say, let's see, where am I at? I'm using my phone, so it's a little odd for that. I will give you the keys. And will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Then he gave the disciples strict orders to tell no one that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. So this is so awesome. I like how Amplified puts it, because what I'm going to go on in this is I'm actually separating this into a couple, this particular verse into two different sermons, because in the future, I'm going to start going over demonic spirits and how they, each one is mainly affecting the church. I was listening to Derek Prince last night, and he was talking about how he travels the world. Derek Prince has passed away. He's been long gone forever. And he's from England. And he would travel the world and minister. And every time he would get into a certain city, he would pray and ask God, okay, Lord, what is the demonic power that is over this city that I need to pray against, and or over this nation? And so God would show him. And so he was kind of listing off different ones. And he was like, I just need to be quick because I need to get through this series. And he came to the United States, and he goes, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but the United States is actually was born out of rebellion. And so a lot of what rests upon people is the spirit of rebellion in the United States. And he said, so as a country, you have to defeat the spirit of rebellion. He's talking to United States citizens. You have to do that. And he said, a lot of times you may have something going on in your church, and you have to find out what it is that's coming against your church. And he said, or maybe it's your family. Maybe there's a specific thing that's coming against your family. And he gave this really good example. He said his family, his first wife adopted, I think they had 9 adopted children. And then, so they had a lot of children. So when they would get together for holidays and everything, it was a big deal. I mean, like all of their, and they were all daughters. And so they were all married and had a bunch of kids. I mean, it was a huge deal, and they'd have to get this all planned out. He said every time we would get together, there was just this tenseness and just this like little tiffy stuff between all of my daughters, you know. And I mean, if you have one sister, that's enough. But if you have 8 or 9, Nay and I can tell you that's a lot to deal with. Anyway, so he's like, so finally, you know, after years of dealing with this, and he's learning about conquering demonic spirits and binding up strongholds, he asked the Lord, what is going on in my family? Why are they always like this? And he said, your daughters have been used to giving in to self-righteousness. Like, which one of us has our dad and mom's attention the most? Which one can we, you know, like, they want us to look at their kids and how great they are, and each one of them, they're competing with each other, and it's just a lot of self-righteousness. And he was like, oh, like he should have known that. He said, so he had to repent, because he's the father, you know, and his wife's already passed away at that point. So he repents and prays and binds up that stronghold in his family. And then the next day is Christmas, and they all get together. And he said it was the best one we ever had. It was just wonderful. It was peaceful. And he said, and then that just gave me clarity that, of course, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And I was just like thinking, as I'm listening to him say this, I'm thinking, wow, how many times do we do that, where we try to fight things physically? You know, people get angry and they get upset in our families or in our churches or at our jobs. And we're like, how am I going to handle this? You know, how am I going to handle this person? Well, the really, really important thing is for us to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is actually going on? What's the issue in someone's heart instead of, you know, what are they acting like? Well, don't think about what they're acting like. Find out, Holy Spirit, what's the issue in their heart? What's the stronghold? What's the demonic spirit that's coming against them? You know, because this is really, really important for us, especially as we get into these end days and that we're living in these end days. You know, this is really, really crucial right now. Okay, so I'm going to go over just a couple little things we went. So we studied about the revelation of Jesus Christ and the supremacy. So I want you to ask yourself, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe in his supremacy, meaning all powerful? He's the King of Kings. Your own revelation that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords can only come to you as an individual by the Holy Spirit, okay? Without the revelation of Jesus Christ, you are stuck in bondage to sin because you lack the knowledge of the one-time sacrifice he made for the penalty of all our sins. And so what I'm going to get at through this is it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, knowing he's the Son of God, that gives you authority. Okay, so today the verse I'm going to bring out is verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, or authority. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I'm going to read a bunch of stuff, so just follow along, okay? So Jesus, although he was a man, he still walked in his authority on earth. That is why, even though he had not died on the cross yet, so think about, this is while he's with the disciples, okay? He's not gone to hell and conquered all the demonic forces and shed his blood. None of that's done yet, but he still has authority. He could still give authority to whoever he wanted because he was the Son of God. His disciples believed that he was the Son of God, and so therefore, he was able to grant them authority over demons and devils and power to bind and loose anything on earth, just like he told them. He sent the 70 out in Luke, I think it's 10:19, and he says, I give you the power over all the powers of the enemy. So Jesus gave them that power because he knew he had that authority. He had the authority to do that. So today, do you think it's any different? Without the revelation of Jesus Christ, without knowing his supremacy, that he is the Son of God, then you will not know how to walk in authority or be able to carry out your rank in the spirit realm. There are only two ranks in the spirit realm. You are either above or beneath. You are either the head or the tail. You're either hot or cold. There is no lukewarm in the kingdom of God. There is no in between. Amen. You have to make a choice that you either believe in God and what his word says or you don't. You have to make that choice. Remember that he said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does that mean he changes because you changed? No. Does that mean because you feel one way one day and another way another day that God is different? No. He is the same no matter what. So walking in authority means you have to believe what Jesus said in his word in order to see something change that is against his will. Amen? Let me make a quick little interjection in this. Jesus gave us authority over all the powers of darkness, but he did not give us authority over individuals, okay? Each person has to decide for himself what he will believe. You can't force someone to believe something. You can influence them, and you can say something that may change their mind a little bit, but in their heart, you can't tell them what to believe. You can't force that person to believe or not believe something, okay? So you can tell people about Jesus, but they have to choose him. Another important thing to note is even though you do not have authority over a person, because you have authority over darkness, you can bind that demon in a person's life if it is affecting your life. You don't have to cower down against the enemy just because you don't want to offend a person. Amen? So I want you to turn to Acts 16, because this is a prime example of not letting the devil run over you. Acts 16, I'm going to start at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, meaning a fortune teller. And then anybody remember when I talk about fortune telling, how John Ramirez says, there is no fortune telling. You know, like sometimes people go to a psychic and a psychic will tell them, oh, you know, they know this and this about you and they know your mother's name and your dad's name. Listen to me. Demons have been around when your parents were around. They know their names. So if you listen to them, you think that they're telling you something. And then they tell you, well, if you don't do this, this bad thing is going to happen to you. And then they actually send the demon with you to make that bad thing happen. And so you think, oh my gosh, I should have done what that psychic told me to do. I should have done what that fortune teller told me to do. And so you go back to that fortune teller and you're just enslaved in that forever. And I just love how John Ramirez brings out, you know, when people, it's amazing. He said, it's amazing. All these fortune tellers lived in the Bronx and they lived in these apartments that were worse than ours. And yet somehow they knew the future. He's like, you would think that they would know when the next lottery was going to win and what number. And he's like, that's how foolish people are, right? Okay, so possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And you would think that she's saying something good, right? But actually what she's doing is she's following the whole crowd. And even though she's saying that, what do you think people are going to, they're going to start listening to her and they're going to be led away with whatever she's doing. And she's just pulling them away. So finally, in verse 18, and she did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, and I like how Amplified it says, he was deeply annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Isn't that awesome? So just think about it. When people come to the point where they're grieving you, or even just deeply annoying because it's not right, it's demonic, it's coming against your family in some way or another, you don't have authority over that person as an individual, but you have authority over the power of darkness that's afflicting them. You have authority over that devil. It may still be in them, it may still be, but you need to cast it away from your midst. This was an amazing thing that devil came out of her. That was awesome. But some people don't want to be delivered. So you still take authority over anything that's coming against you. Amen? All right. So too often we as Christians get mad and attack people instead of taking authority over demonic spirits that are affecting those people. When you are dealing with darkness, you need to walk in the light. The devil wants us to get angry and depressed and beat down. That's why he throws darts at us. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but we weren't made to be stolen from. We weren't made to be killed, and we weren't made to be destroyed. That's not God's destiny for our lives. We were made to live and live more abundantly. We were made and created to be blessed and provided for. God created this world as provision for us. Amen? He made that. So back to Matthew 16, 19. You don't have to turn back there. Jesus gave us authority to bind and loose. We are not meant to live on the defense. We were given authority to use it, to stand on the offense and win against the powers of darkness. The enemy's goal is to make us believe that the power of God stopped moving when the disciples died, or that the power of God only moves through special Christians, ones who are like ministers or missionaries or prophets or pastors, But that is not true. God did not do that just for any certain person. When you believe in Jesus Christ, when you receive that revelation, you receive authority in the spirit realm. You automatically do. Jesus automatically spoke it into your life. Amen? Remember that there are only two ranks in the kingdom of God. You are either in or you are out. You are either above or you are beneath. You are either the head or the tail. There's no in between with God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then he gives you authority to carry out his will in his name. But I want to share another story out of Acts, because if you don't have a personal relationship and revelation that he is a son of God, you can't use his name. Amen? So turn to Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to start at verse 13. And this is about the sons of Sceva. Anybody remember these? Okay, so verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And before I go on, I was kind of imagining in my head what this would look like. So there's seven guys, and they go out, you know, and they're exorcists. And let me tell you that it really does work, but it doesn't work. You know, it's kind of one of those things where people think exorcism is like in the movies, and you know, you see the Catholic priests, and it's just fake. But actually, when done in the name of Jesus by somebody who believes on him, it does work, right? Okay, so I'm imagining these seven brothers, and they get to this guy, and we'll go on and read that, and these devils are just not coming out of this guy. And finally, they're like, oh, well, I heard this guy named Paul, and he uses this name Jesus, and maybe that'll work. And another brother's like, well, why don't we just use both names, because this is a really hard one, okay? So it goes on, verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Right? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Seven guys stripped naked and beat up by one guy who was possessed by the devil. Because what they were doing was they were fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness with the physical. They did not really believe on Jesus. They didn't even really know Paul. They didn't know what they were doing, but they thought they did. And then it says in verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And it also says, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I love that, because here they are. You know, they're trying to use the name of Jesus, and they don't really know him. And so what I want to get at is, we can't do the same thing, okay? We can't use the name of Jesus and expect things to happen. It's the same thing for them as it would be for us. These men were using the name of Jesus to try to defeat darkness when they didn't even know Jesus. Amen? So, that is why, as the body of Christ, we cannot take our relationship with Jesus lightly. Okay, I know it's like, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm really busy, God, and I just don't have time to read your word. I just don't have time to pray through this. I just need to get through it, God. I just can't, I can't even think about what to pray because I'm so stuck in this. And so you get to that point where you're like, you don't even know what to do, but you have to know Jesus in order to know what to do. The only way to conquer demonic spirits is through the authority he gives us. He gives it to us. Okay? It's not something that you can just buy from him or claim or even say that you have if you don't really know him. He's the one who gives it to you. You are a recipient of the grace of God. If you aren't winning a battle, then stop fighting on your own strength and walk in the power and authority that comes from Jesus Christ. And then trust that he will do what he said he will do. If you doubt what his word says, then you will doubt where you stand against the powers of darkness. To defeat doubt, you have to choose to walk in faith. If you are feeling defeated, remind yourself who Jesus made you to be. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have to know that. You have to have that revelation. If you are living in sin, then repent. Stop making it complicated and trying to figure out what is sin and what is not. Stop that. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you to repent, then listen to him. If it is condemnation, get over it. Jesus gave you authority to bind and loose. So I declare to everyone in this room, be loosed from that condemnation right now in the name of Jesus. If you are having a hard time changing something in your life that is a bad habit or could lead you to sin, stop trying to change yourself. Surrender it to God. Let it go. He can change something in your heart better than you can. He can even take away the desire to sin in the first place. It is amazing what God can do in your heart. Our God, he's the only true God. He created you, and don't you think he knows every part of your heart and what you're going through? He knows. He knows you. He loves you to your deepest core. He loved you in your deepest sin, and he will not stop loving you. But what you need to remember is that you will not be on this earth forever. Someday you will die, and you will either go to heaven or hell. There is no in between. Quite often I remember different ministers would say, you know, before you go to bed, get your heart right with the Lord, because you don't know when you wake up or if you will wake up where you're going to be. And so when I was younger especially, I would think about that quite often. And so I would make a point, you know, like there's that verse that says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Has anybody ever let the sun go down on their wrath? Ooh, I have. I have let that happen. And let me tell you, you don't sleep well. And then you wake up and you almost feel like you were waking up angry. Anybody ever woke up angry? Oh, that is not a good feeling. Not a good feeling. And I remember when I would do that, I'd be like, oh, that's why the Bible says don't go let the sun go down on your wrath. And I would get it. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. We have to learn, you know, sometimes we have to learn. You can tell us things, but sometimes as humans, we have to learn through our own mistakes. But God is so good. You know, in his grace and his mercy, you know, he knows what each one of us are going through. What we need to realize is that so often we go through our lives and we just feel like we're just fighting people and we're just fighting issues and things. But we don't realize that there's a whole nother realm out there. And in order for us, and see, we have authority over that realm. We have authority physically and spiritually over things. Because we have authority spiritually, it affects physical. Amen? We just have to believe in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have that revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, then none of this sermon is going to make any difference in your life. Until you believe that, until you grasp that, and the Holy Spirit reveals who Jesus is in your heart, until you get that, you are going to miss out on some awesome things that God is going to change in your life and in your family and in the church and in this nation. Amen? Yep. All right, that's all I have today. Thank you, Jesus. You may go ahead and stand. Thank you, Father. So next week, I'm going to carry on with binding and loosing because I really want to get into the definitions of what those are and how to agree coming together is touching anything Father Jesus said us it'll be done. So I'm going to carry that on next week. And then we're going to go into real detail. And let me tell you, this is not going to be an easy series. God has been dealing with me on things. And sometimes, like, I had that dream, you know, and God was dealing with me. God's going to be dealing with things. So I just want to tell you, right now is a good time to repent. Okay?
Yeah.
Just get that out now. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you create in us sincere hearts. Lord, we ask that you would humble us, God. Wherever we need to repent, Lord, we know it's hard sometimes, but you are with us, God, and you give us the words to say. So we just thank you, Lord, that we will do that. We thank you for healing relationships, and we thank you for healing bodies. God, we just thank you for your healing power. God, you are so good to us, Lord. And God, we just thank you for protecting us wherever we go, leading us by your Holy Spirit, everything that we need to do this week. We thank you that we have ears to hear your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.